From KTOO in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. Buzz Kelly has advanced to the November general election in Alaska's U.S. Senate race. The little-known candidate joins Republican Senator Lisa Murkowski, Republican Kelly Chewbacca, and Democrat Pat Jesbro in advancing from the August 16th open primary to the general election. Ranked voting will be used in the November election. Kelly did not respond to emails or a message sent through his website from the Associated Press, but he told the Anchorage Daily News recently that his success could be due to his 12 campaign signs. While Chewbacca's slogan is Kelly for Alaska, Buzz Kelly said it seemed a bit of a stretch that her supporters mistakenly voted for him. In Anchorage, an Anchorage man shot by police last Friday now faces 19 charges, including kidnapping and attempted murder. Police identified the man today as 36-year-old Michael Vaulu and identified the officer who shot him as Curtis Walkenfuss. Police say Vaulu fired a weapon inside a North Anchorage home early Friday morning before leaving with an elementary school-aged child. Police said the child was related to Vaulu but didn't specify how. Officers found Vaulu and the child roughly 2 hours later at a Midtown Anchorage intersection. Police say they ordered Vaulu to stop multiple times before he aimed a handgun at officers. Officer Walkenfuss fired twice at Vaulu, striking him in the midsection, according to police. Active duty airmen will soon drive school buses for students at Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson. Anchorage School District officials announced on Friday that the airmen will drive the students for 90 days starting on Thursday. The four drivers who currently staff the routes on J-Bear will move to other routes in the district. Hundreds of Ukrainians who came to Alaska after Russia invaded their country 6 months ago are settling in to their new home away from home. Many of the expatriates came to stay with family in Delta Junction, where they're enrolling their kids in schools and getting help learning the English language. KUAC's Tim Ellis reports.
29 students from Ukraine began classes last week in the Delta Greeley School District, which hired a full-time Slavic-speaking staff member to help them out with their classwork.
We recognized the need early on. We added another position, and we're thankful we did.
District Superintendent Sean Striley says fellow students also are helping the newcomers learn the language, especially those from Ukrainian immigrant families that began arriving in Delta in the 1990s.
We have young students even kind of helping with translating things and supporting their classmates with the language barriers that they experience. So it's working well.
Striley says the students range in grade level from kindergarten to the 12th grade, and they vary in their ability to communicate in English. Some have no experience with the language, and a few are fairly fluent. Those with little English proficiency attend classes with the other students in the morning, then spend the afternoon with the Slavic-speaking instructor. He says those with the greatest proficiency are the easiest to mainstream into classes, along with the local students.
We do have a couple high school students that are mainstream all day long because they're capable of handling and the language.
An instructor with the Literacy Council of Alaska says she encounters that same range of English proficiency among the growing group of Ukrainian adults that she's working with.
Right now we have about 26 enrolled and we have more families coming in.
Jill Prestigard is a volunteer language instructor with the Fairbanks-based Literacy Council.
It's teaching English skills to adults to prepare them for either work or to transition, you know, into the community.
Prestigard conducts English language classes twice a week at a church where many members of the local Slavic community worship, but last week the class took a field trip to the Delta Community Library.
They brought their children, we had a large group, and it was just really a great evening.
This was an effort to get them to know what resources we have and to feel comfortable in the library.
Library Director Tiki Levinson says the field trip also helped her figure out what kinds of materials the library needs to accommodate the newcomers, like Russian language books that many in the group asked for because most of them also speak that language. But she says the highlight of the evening was when she gave out library cards.
And just know the power of the resources that they could be able to access with that card.
Levinson says she was especially gratified to give a Russian-English dictionary to a young girl who wanted to understand what the kids at school were saying so she could join the conversation.
when I gave her the Russian language dictionary, she just hugged it to her chest and she looked absolutely elated.
Levinson says the new library patrons are starting to show up more often now, and she says she's working hard to increase the library's collection with the books and materials that they're asking for. In Delta Junction, I'm Tim Ellis.
As tourists return to Alaska, communities across the state are discussing the social, economic, and environmental impacts of summer travelers. One business that started up this year in Sitka hopes to create a sustainable model for hosting tourists through an activity that doesn't get much attention in Alaska. KCAW's Tosh Kimmel reports.
It's low tide on a clear, blue-skied morning as Ellie Schmidt leads a group of visiting cruise passengers to the waterline for a snorkel tour. But the group isn't in the tropics, and they're not in the usual beach attire. Instead, they're wearing thick wetsuits on the rocky shores of Sitka, Alaska's Magic Island State Park.
We're going to put on our gloves and our hoods. So hoods are going to go underneath your suit, and you can have us or each other help you, like, tuck it all the way in.
Okay.
Strands of bull kelp bob on the water's surface. Below, a thriving kelp forest home to vibrant sea stars, urchins, and jellyfish awaits. Back at the shop, I asked the snorkelers how they chose this somewhat unusual attraction.
Yeah. Who can say they snorkeled in Alaska? Not many people, so.
Yeah.
At least where we're from.
I think really not very many.
I've never even heard of it, snorkeling in Alaska, until this trip.
Even on a summer day like today, water temperatures won't go above 55 degrees. But Schmidt, founder of Selkie Snorkels in Sitka, says it's part of what makes snorkeling in Alaska so special.
I think there's sort of this post-snorkel high that you get when you get out of the water, the cold water.
There's this like hyper-rich, nutritious water that creates incredible abundance of biodiversity and animals that's really striking and unique.
Selkie Snorkels opened this June, only 2 short months after Schmidt conceived of the business. While snorkeling may not be a quintessential Alaska pastime, Schmidt hopes Selkie Snorkels can be an eco-friendly attraction for summer visitors.
I think from a standpoint of a tourism industry that's focused a lot around fishing, which of course is wonderful, it's kind of cool to have tourism that's just focused on looking and maybe taking photos.
The idea of eco or sustainable tourism is not a new one, but in rural destinations like Sitka, it remains especially relevant. According to Cornell professor and sustainable tourism expert Megan Epler-Wood, sustainability looks different in every community, but the framework is always the same.
The idea would be that tourism doesn't damage the environment where visitors visit, and that it doesn't, hurt the chances of local people to prosper where they live.
As tourism returns to Sitka in record-breaking numbers this summer, the city has been embroiled in conversations about how best to handle the strain on local resources. It's unclear what the future of tourism in Southeast will look like, but according to Wood, businesses like Selkie can play a part in protecting vulnerable ecosystems.
We have a lot of good research on ecotourism because it's been around the longest. Where you see that it really has contributed to the conservation of natural areas. It absolutely does provide revenue and a reason for people to conserve their natural environment.
Fred Drake runs a snorkeling operation in Ketchikan, perhaps the first in Southeast. His company, Snorkel Alaska, has been up and running for nearly 20 years. Like Schmidt, he fell in love with the intricate ecosystems beneath Southeast's frigid waves.
You look at the surface of the water, it looks black, it looks cold, dark. As soon as you put your face in the water, there's all this color.
While he's never labeled himself a sustainable tourism company, his goal has always been to share and educate people about the beauty of Alaska's ocean life.
We're educating people about them, letting them handle them, take photos with them, and then we're putting them back.
Like Selkie, Drake's customers are majority cruise ship passengers, but he says his business still holds value for the locals.
I can't tell you how many locals have come back and thanked me for introducing them into the underwater world here.
Schmidt hopes in the coming summers, her business too can benefit the community by making snorkeling more accessible to locals and tourists alike.
It'd be great if we could do sort of like educational snorkels in the future or have sort of a more co-op style where we're sharing gear.
Schmidt says she plans on returning for next summer's tourist season. And while it's unclear exactly what Selkie will look like in the future, it's clear snorkeling in Sitka is here to stay. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Tosh Kimmel.
It's been a big year for Thlinkit Formline artist Jennifer Younger, and now it's gotten bigger and greener. Last winter, the Sitka-based carver and engraver created a t-shirt design for Ginu, an indigenous-owned denim company based in Portland, Oregon. Younger was showcasing her work during London Fashion Week in February when she got word from Ginu that Disney had come calling.
While I was in London, I received an email from Ginu saying, hey, like there's a possibility they want to use some of our shirts in this new show. And of course, you know, they asked for my permission, and I was very excited about that.
She said yes, but she didn't hear anything after that for several months. Then last weekend, she was in the Southwest for the 100th annual Santa Fe Indian Market. Again, her work was on the runway in collaboration with designer Ursula Hudson, and her phone started buzzing.
Fast forward to Santa Fe, and I'm there, and I get someone tagged me in a post on Facebook, like, you know, of show of the Hulk wearing the shirt. And I was like, oh my gosh.
So the Hulk's.
Stretched across Bruce Banner's CGI chest is her design, a formline raven, which Younger, who is of the Eagle moiety, says she's drawn to in her designs. The shirt was featured in the show She-Hulk, Attorney at Law, on Disney's streaming service, Disney+. And finally, weather. Heavy rain is headed for the northern half of southeast Alaska later this week and into the weekend. In a special weather statement, the National Weather Service says a series of atmospheric rivers will move across the area starting early Thursday. Weather Service says to expect 2 to 7 inches of rain, with the highest amounts in Yakutat. Weather Service says rivers and streams will rise rapidly, though for now, flood potential is low. As for the immediate forecast for Juneau specifically, Weather Service says rain is likely tonight, lows around 50. Tuesday, widespread rain, showers, highs in the mid-50s. Wednesday, chance of rain showers. And that is it for the KTOO News Update for Monday, August 29th, 2022. I'm Jeremy Shea. Thanks for listening.